Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Cesar Romero.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Ivy Podcast. I'm your host, Cesar Romero, and in this episode, we're going to go on a quest for superpowers. And to help us get there, I asked Lauren Wegman, who is the executive coach and head of training at Mind Maven, to guide us on this quest for these superpowers. And these superpowers are all about, if you're an executive, if you're a CEO, whether it's a startup or a big organization, I think we can all agree that time is our most valuable resource. And these superpowers will help you free up your time. I think it's up to 10 plus hours a week. I think that's one of the metrics that they have. And so that you can invest it in relationships and in the things that matter most, right? So if you are feeling like you've been very reactive lately, that you've been putting out fires, and that you feel like the important things are slipping through the cracks, then this episode is especially for you. And we hope that at the end of the episode, you can walk away with some practical tips on how to leverage these superpowers and find more time for those things that matter most. So Lauren, welcome to the show. And it's a pleasure to have you here. I am personally excited to dive deeper into this.
Thank you so much for having me, Cesar. You did such a beautiful job at kind of articulating what we're here to do at MindMaven. So like you said, we are an executive coaching firm focused around optimizing three superpowers, which we call leverage, intent, and fellowship. And I'm really excited to tell the audience how they might be able to incorporate these into their lives.
Absolutely. And who doesn't want superpowers, right?
On a quest. I love it.
Yes. Before we go on that quest, I want to dive a little bit into your journey into MindMaven, right? How do you get there? And I guess more specifically, what was that fork on the road for you? Where that moment where you had the opportunity to decide, okay, MindMaven, it's for me, or I need to go do something else?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I have spent years of my career, the majority of my career, as an executive assistant. So I, graduated from Marquette University in communications and public relations and spent probably over 8 years as an executive assistant. A lot of that background was in finance. And I had a lot of people in my career kind of tell me, there's so much more, you could do so much more than be an executive assistant. And, when I was in finance, there was different certifications that you can take. So Series 7, Series 66, and kind of accelerate and go down the pathway of becoming a financial advisor. And so I started exploring that pathway, and I have a dad who is a financial advisor and owns a really successful financial advising practice and has for about 40 years. So I got all my certifications and, the whole plan, Cesar, was eventually to take over for my dad and get all my certifications, and everything looks great from the outside. People are like, oh, you're going to be such a great advisor. And I was just not loving it. And I had this realization at, I think at the time I was 25 years old, and which feels young, but I was 25 and I had this moment of, I don't think that this is the right move for the next 40 years. I was sort of, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but like bored at 25 with my day to day.
Yes, I exactly know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so I had to first come to grips with the fact that the financial advisor route wasn't the right thing. And I had to have a awesome conversation with my dad. It was a joy, but he handled it really well. And, you know, I realized, Cesara, that even though people in the world had said that, you know, I should do more or be more than an executive assistant, that that's like really where my heart lied. Mm-hmm. Is in this executive assistant type role. And so I spent a little bit of time exploring opportunities. And one of the things that stood out to me was this idea of being fully remote. And this was before being fully remote was really cool. Cesar. Right.
Before it was cool.
This was before the pandemic. And I came across this job posting by Mind Maven. And the best way that I can describe it is I had this moment of like, upon first reading of the job description, I was like, this is it. Like, just strong conviction in the way that they describe the role, the capacity and the potential for what you could be as an executive assistant. I think one of the lines in the job description at the time was, we're looking for the best executive assistants in the country. And I was like, that's me.
I do have to say,
so that I reached out.
The writing and the content, my Maven, it's like, it draws you. So I can definitely relate to what you're saying, right?
We have such a great content team. And
yeah,
I mean, that job description, it just called out to me with, again, I had this experience of like, this is it. And mm-hmm. so applied to the job and had an awesome interview process. It's an extensive process. You go through a trial project. And long story short, I got the opportunity to support our CEO, Patrick, as his engagement manager. So, things have evolved and changed a lot in the past, call it 2 years, but best decision of my life, without a doubt.
That's amazing. And, you know, especially those decisions where you know that the path that you're on, it's not for you. And coming to terms with that and making that realization and having the courage to stand your ground and say, wait a minute, I don't think this is path for me, and not starting over, but making changes, right? I think that's one of the hardest parts of careers, right? But now look at you now, right? Like, from going through that transition, now you're in a much, from what it seems, you know, much, much better place, and much more fulfilled, right?
Yeah.
So if you're if you're out there and you're going through something similar, just know that that's probably part of the process, and you should tune into your intuition and see where that takes you, right? Because the worst thing that you can do is you get to the top, right? You get to the top of whatever career, whatever mountain, only to look back and realize this is not what I wanted. And you're probably what, 60, 70 years old, and at that point, right, it's too late. So. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to.
You didn't at all. I have this terrible habit, Cesar, of interrupting when you were talking. I was just adamantly agreeing with you. Mm-hmm. In that sense of, if anyone out there is listening and having this experience of resonating with feeling like the path that they're on maybe isn't the right thing, or they aren't waking up feeling excited, I guess I would just encourage everybody to listen to themselves. So very often, and I would almost argue 100% of the time, we have the answers, and your intuition will guide you if you let it.
Yeah. It's funny, because that's exactly why I told my team, right? As you know, I'm transitioning and I'll be joining my Maven on Monday officially. But that's exactly what I told my team, you know, that this opportunity resonates with me, and I would regret it, right, if I didn't take it. But it wasn't easy, right? Because you got to come to terms and you got to admit to yourself that, hey, this is not the path that you're on. So with that, my Maven, and I share a bit about what my Maven is, but can you tell us from your background experience, from your perspective, what is the problem that my Maven is looking to solve, and what sets my Maven apart from other similar companies out there?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of what's the problem we're looking to solve, biggest thing here, Cesar, is we all know lots of startup founders and CEOs that are achieving amazing things, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
All the startup founders and CEOs that we know are looking to achieve their own version of true greatness. And unfortunately, what we've discovered is that because of these amazing feats that they're trying to achieve, oftentimes the things that matter most within their lives are the areas that suffer. And we are really helping startup founders and CEOs achieve their own version of true greatness. So their versions are subjective. That notion mm-hmm. of true greatness is very individual. So some of our clients are looking to leave legacies. A lot of our clients are looking to change the world with what they're building.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to support them in getting there. And we want to help them do so in a way that is very sustainable. And another area that kind of sets us apart in terms of, you know, from an executive coaching perspective, what's mm-hmm. different? That was one of the big questions that you asked, is what makes us different? So there's mm-hmm. lots of executive coaching firms in the world,
right.
Oftentimes focused around productivity, efficiency, things like that. That's super important. But one of the gaps that we recognize is on the way to true greatness, we believe that relationships are the foundation to get there. So we can only achieve true greatness through the help of others.
I love that. And you have no idea how much I resonate with that, because I believe that to the core. You know, relationships are everything, whether it's a family, whether it's at work, you know, that's what matters. And most of the time, right, the relationships tend to take a hit as you get more demands on your time, right? Man, I had a question, a follow-up. Oh, I like how you emphasize that greatness is relative to the individual. Because a lot of times we get caught up in, especially with social media, right? We see others and we think that their greatness should be our greatness. And then we fall in the comparison game of, oh, this person's doing this and I'm not there. So I think that's very important to remind people that you're the one that defines your greatness. And I think that we can all agree that one of the common themes as you achieve greatness is the amount of time that you invest in relationships, right?
100%.
So,
and I love, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love that you recognize that in the sense that it really is relative. So number one, it's relative when it comes to our own individual timelines. And also relative, again, going back to that idea of intuition and following like what your version of true greatness really is meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have those callings and those passions for a reason. I think one of the most beautiful things about our clients is the sheer variety of their versions of true greatness, what our clients are looking to achieve. And it doesn't look the same for any two of our clients. And it's amazing.
And another aspect that I want to emphasize as well is what makes my Maven different, right? Because you're right, there's a lot of coaching firms out there that teach you about productivity, better systems, habits. But if you are productive, if you have systems, but you're optimizing for the wrong things, then you're not going to achieve greatness. Most likely you're going to still feel empty inside, you know, not fulfilled. So I really love that, you know, that you're helping people optimize for relationships ultimately, you know, which that's what matters.
Yeah, 100%. You hit the nail on the head for us. So really what makes us different is this idea that all of it for us comes back to, so why productivity? Why free up time? Why become more intentional? Why? All of it at the end of the day, Cesar, is coming back to relationships. So for us, so then You might not be the best person to ask this question because I think your answer is going to be different than the majority of the population, but we're going to go for it anyways.
Let's do it.
If I had to ask you, if you feel like you're doing the things that you need to be doing for those relationships that matter most, what would your answer be?
Ooh, I love that. On the spot. I would say I could do better.
So most of the time when we ask that question, we get this like, very similar reaction to when you're at the dentist and your dentist is like, so have you been flossing?
Yeah, it's like they know they should, but they don't, right?
So why? Why do you think that might be?
Because we tend to get caught up in our own heads. You know, we tend to get caught up in what's in it for me a lot of times. And we don't really think, or sometimes we don't even have time to think, pause and think, right? Okay, you know, how can I help this one person? Or, oh, I haven't talked to so-and-so in a while. I wonder how they're doing, right? Because there's always something that demands our attention. God. And things that seem urgent when they're really not, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. These days, I feel like it's 24/7, you know, with social media and email and all. The other day, someone on LinkedIn posted, how do I even keep up with the messages, email, LinkedIn messages, Facebook messages, WhatsApp, Slack? And I was like, that's a perfect example right there. Why, you know, and it's easy to get caught up in that, right? If you don't have, let's just say if you don't have the superpowers that we're here to unpack.
That's exactly right. You know, for us, it really does come back. Cesar, you hit it right again. Urgency versus importance. So relationships and the things that we need to do to sustain the relationships that are most important to us are always going to be important, but rarely ever urgent. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what that means is we get so caught up, you know, putting out fires like you described, or trying to stay on top of all the notifications, trying to respond to all the things that are constantly nagging for our attention, and the things that we know we quote unquote should be doing or want to be doing fall to the wayside.
Perfect. So let's shift gears here to the superpowers. I'm curious, how did Mind Maven came to the conclusion of, you know, here are the three superpowers that people need to achieve greatness. And then we'll unpack each of those.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would actually invite everyone to read our blog and how Mind Maven came to be. There's this amazing story. Patrick was actually traveling on a meditation retreat, and this idea of Mind Maven came to him. And, you know, if any of you know Patrick's history, very involved in the startup world and had a lot of exposure to really the problem that we're trying to solve. So these incredible, amazing founders trying to achieve amazing things. And Patrick just had this experience of there has to be a better way. Like there has to be a way for all of these people to achieve these amazing things that they want to achieve without sacrificing the things in their lives that matter most. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where the three superpowers of leverage, intent, and fellowship came to be.
That's amazing. And that's a powerful phrase. There has to be a better way. And I think we should make that part of our day-to-day, especially at, you know, whether it's family or work, because it just automatically gets your brain thinking like, you know, what's the better way to do this? So I really like that. And yes, if you haven't read the story, please go, because it's a very powerful story. I had the opportunity to read it, and I met Patrick, amazing human, and I'm excited to get to know him even more, right? So let's unpack the first superpower, Lauren, leverage. First of all, what is leverage? How do you define leverage? Why is leverage important? And, you know, what are some of the ways that my Maven teaches on how people can get more leverage in their day-to-day. Yeah.
Absolutely. So when it comes to leverage, the way that I like to explain it, Cesar, is ultimately as a, let's say you're a founder, you're someone that's struggling, and you come to us and you say, all right, how do I do this thing? There's two ways that we can help you optimize your time. The first is through intent, which is one of the second superpower that we'll walk through. Mm-hmm. Super powerful. The second is through leverage. Leverage is all about this idea of optimizing a relationship with a support resource. So oftentimes this support resource is an executive assistant or a chief of staff, but someone that is there by your side. So we encourage all of our founders and executives to think about having this role. And then if the person is already in the seat, thinking about changing their perspective from executive assistant to what we call an engagement manager. And we can kind of unpack why that's important, what that looks like. But that's kind of one of the key fundamental differences in our perspective of leverage.
Okay, so leverage is essentially having the support you need to focus on things that move the needle.
Yeah, and really think even one step further, Cesar, it's really about optimizing that relationship with the executive assistant, or again, chief of staff is sometimes the role, but optimizing the relationship with your executive assistant. And that's where we free up the 10 hours a week.
Right. Now, two follow-up questions here, and I'm sure you hear this a lot. Do I need an executive assistant? Do I need a chief of staff? And the second question there is, what are some of the most common misconceptions that people have on, you know, bringing on an executive assistant? So let's dive into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as it relates to the first question, so do I need it? I would say I'm lucky in the sense that most of my founders have learned the hard way by the time they get to me and they're like, yes, I do need it. But if you're starting to feel the pains and challenges of hyper growth, or you're going through a phase of just massive scale, at that point in time, Cesar, we all know what a difference even 5 hours in our schedule can make. And so I just try to encourage my founders and CEOs to be thinking from the perspective of, what are the things in my life that are bogging me down and maybe not like the best use of my time? Mm-hmm. So yes, some of these things are going to be calendaring expenses,
right?
But also think even earlier, back to our earlier conversation, Cesar, time spent in Slack, time spent on email. Like, what are ways that we can, again, there has to be a better way. There is. And it's through this partnership with your executive assistant.
Now, I know my Maven has engagement managers, which is at the intersection of an executive assistant and a chief of staff, right? How do you define engagement managers? And I guess what prompted to create this category, I guess?
Yeah, it actually ties right back into your second question around misconceptions, right? Mm-hmm. So some of the biggest misconceptions that we typically hear are around this conventional approach or conventional definition of the role. So when you think of executive assistant, if I were to say that just executive assistant, we weren't having this entire podcast about how MindMaven thinks about the role. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes what starts popping into people's minds is glorified coffee getter or calendaring or expenses. Were you going to say something? I don't want to interrupt you.
No, I dislike that is the message, that the general message that's out there for executive assistants. And you mentioned that when you were sharing your story at the beginning of people telling you there's much more for you than just being an executive assistant, right? So if that makes you happy, if that makes you fulfilled, then.
Exactly. Yeah. And Cesar, I mean, there is so much underutilization of like executive assistants. I mean, I train executive assistants. I work with executive assistants now and have my whole career. They're some of the most brilliant people. When you think of the executive assistant, if we have executive assistant over here and focus on a lot more tactical type of responsibilities, and then on the way flip side of this spectrum, we have the chief of staff, which typically is a bit more strategic. Mm-hmm. The engagement manager really exists to fill the gap between the two, Cesar. So we noticed again in startup world, there's a big, big gap between what you think of as traditional EA type of responsibilities and then the chief of staff role. And so this engagement manager really serves two main functions or two main purposes. The first is freeing up time for the executive in any way, shape, or form possible. So this will include some of the more basic executive assistant type of responsibilities. They will do things like scheduling, calendaring, expenses, mm-hmm. but it also includes a lot of really high leverage stuff that we can talk about in a little bit. Some ideas that I don't think people even think exist. And then the second layer is using that freed up time to reinvest it back into the relationships that matter most.
That's amazing. And so this leads to intent, right? Which is the second superpower. As you get more leverage, you become more, I guess, more intentional with how you allocate your time. Right. What are some of the, I guess, some of the biggest challenges here when it comes to being more intentional? And what are some of the practical tools, tips, or strategies that MyMaven helps founders put in place?
Yeah, absolutely. So you hit it on the nail again. So thinking about once we free up those 10 hours a week, Cesar, mm-hmm. we like to tell our executives that our next focus is on them. So how can we help them be more intentional with the time that they've bought back? Because there's always going to be more fires. There's always going to be more urgency driven type of things coming at you. And so how can we, again, shift that focus to things that really are going to move the needle? So what are some of the things that we work through? When it comes to tactical things that executives need to achieve, talking about some best practices in task management. Mm-hmm. Sounds really, really basic, Cesar, but task management is one of the hardest things that we teach. So really having a system of trust. And for us, that system is Asana. We're less married to a particular system than we are that you have one and that mm-hmm. you use it as a system of trust. Another really big one is executives often that, yes, the tactical stuff is super important, but executives, again, they're brilliant. And so executives are going to have ideas. And unfortunately, if we're living in this urgency-driven world, what happens is we think of these ideas when we're sitting in meetings, but we're back to back all day. And mm-hmm. then we never have time to actually sit down and work on that really amazing idea. And that really amazing idea might be what the business needs.
That is right. And I cannot tell you, I'm guilty of this. I'm not by any means have the perfect system. But yeah, I have ideas and then either write them down on a piece of paper or put it in a Google Doc, right? But then if you don't take action on those because you have another meeting, then those get left behind. So I can see how that can be critical to help remove those roadblocks, I guess, ideas to flow. And there's a concept that MyMaven also helps, and the idea of white space, right? Which is very related to being more intentional. And it goes against the popular message out there of you should have like every time slot in your calendar, like with something to do, but they don't talk about white space. So why is the idea of having white space important? And what do you do with the white space? Right, because one of the things that's out there as well is like wake up at a certain time, let's say 5 a.m. But then, okay, so you wake up early, and then what do you do with your time? How do you know that what you're doing is going to give you the most leverage? Right, so let's dive a little bit into that white space idea.
I love that. So white space time essentially is a third layer. A lot of our founders and CEOs, you're probably familiar with this idea of makers versus managers time by Paul Graham.
Yeah.
So we're typically, again, operating in one mode versus the other. So think of white space time as an extension of makers and managers time and a third version of how we structure our day. So white space time, the biggest distinction between the other two times is that white space time is truly strategic, proactive thinking time. So this is not, I need to bang out these 10 emails. This is not, I need to work in the weeds on something executional. This is, I am thinking proactively about ideas that would serve my business in the future.
Got it. That can be so challenging. Let me tell you, because you're probably in your head, right? You're probably going to, man, I need to get this done, or I need to send this out. And that, man, that takes a lot of discipline.
Probably, it does. And right? I think that is actually one of the earliest things that we teach as it relates to white space time is just respecting the time, right? Creating it and then respecting it, because we are our own worst enemies, Cesar. Unfortunately, before clients, this isn't new for our clients. Our clients want to be doing this. But the biggest thing is, have you tried this before? Yes. Has it worked? For a while. And then what happens after a while? We let something urgent take over, even though we know when we get the time that these are some of the best spent hours out of the whole week, Cesar. Some of the most important hours out of your entire week are going to be the white space time hours.
I'm guilty of that, Lauren. Sometimes I don't respect.
We all are.
Yeah. Like, all right. So we have leverage. We have intent. Now, the third superpower is fellowship.
What it's all about.
Right. So let's define what fellowship is and why does that matter, and you know how we can leverage this third superpower to, I guess, be more fulfilled, be more, achieve greatness, as Mike Maven likes to call it.
Yeah, absolutely. So fellowship is all about relationships, Cesar. So fellowship comes down to building a team and a tribe that will follow you to the moon and back. And so thinking about team, internal stakeholders, internal team members, all the people that you care about internally, and then tribe externally. So everyone outside of your internal team that you need to be nurturing relationships with. And some of the ways, I think the biggest and simplest way to build fellowship, Cesar, I have a few. Let's start with positive alacrity. Have you heard of this? I think you might be familiar with this already.
Yes. So this term, I first heard it, from Patrick, obviously, but more specifically, he did a podcast episode with, I think, one of the founders of Techstars. I think it was Dave.
Yeah.
And he mentioned this positive alacrity. And I'll let you explain it, but it really resonated with me. And I was like, huh. Like, I had never heard the term before. And I was like, I remember I was like mesmerized. I was just like, kept thinking about it. But so please, let's dive into it.
Yeah. So positive alacrity, like I said, it's one of the simplest, most beautiful skills that we can build. Cesar, again, interpersonally, personally, professionally, this one will change your life. And, you know, I think all of us try to do this to some extent, some more than others, without even knowing that this is what we're doing. It is the skill of delivering positive micro moments to people in your life. And so what might this look like in practice, and why is it important? So have you heard of the gratitude visits study by Martin Seligman?
I have not, but now I feel like I need to, that's homework for me.
Yeah, it is homework. So gratitude visits is this idea where they did a research study, and they had people write a 300 word letter to someone that impacted their life in a meaningful way. And then they went to this person's house and read the letter to them. And then they took, they took metrics on the experience for both the person delivering the message as well as the recipient. 30 days later, Cesar, they had both participants, so recipient and deliverer, had lower levels of depression, higher levels of happiness, gratitude. I mean, this was like 30 days is like game changing.
That, yeah.
The problem with this study, which if any of you can do this for someone that has impacted your life in a huge way, do it. But a lot of us, again, 300 words and going to deliver it in person is maybe a little bit more challenging and something that we can't incorporate every day.
Yeah, it's a lot.
How can we break this down in a way that can meaningfully impact our lives every day through positive alacrity? So think of, do you grab coffee out? Do you go to Starbucks ever, Cesar?
I avoid Starbucks, but I do like coffee.
And tell me a local place that you like.
Man, they just changed their name, but they're on Lamar. And since we're both in Austin,
some coffee shop. Okay, so you go to your coffee shop on Lamar and you notice, Cesar, that the barista knows most of the customers by name. Mm-hmm. And you just, that makes you happy. And so when it's your turn, you say, hey, you know, you see her name tag. Hey, Lisa, I noticed that you really treat your customers with respect and dignity and pay attention and greet them by name. And I just think that's awesome. And just wanted to let you know that I'm sure that makes an impact on their day. You get your coffee and you leave. What are the chances that Lisa's day was a little bit brighter thanks to that comment?
Oh, 100,000% better. Because I've been on the receiving end of those comments. And I've also been the one giving those. And even the being the person that is giving, like, you just feel like, oh my God, I just made this. I'm assuming I made this person's day a little bit better, right?
Yeah, and it feels good. It feels good as the deliverer. You touched on that too, Cesar. It feels good to recognize the good.
Yeah. I remember recently I went to Home Depot because I needed to get gas for the grill because, you know, it's coming.
Grilling season.
And I was just like, I asked the guy, hey, how's your day going? And that's all he needed to just be like, oh man, you know, I'm having a hard day because this happened and it's hot. And then, you know, it was like about a minute. But then after that, but you know what? It could be worse. And I could tell that just by venting and me asking that question and him venting and creating that safe space for that 1 minute, I could see in his face that he just felt better.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, it's so powerful. It doesn't take much.
And Cesar, I think you touched on something too, is the intention behind our communication, right? That that gentleman probably felt you were asking him, how are you? Not this perfunctory, hey, how are you? Good.
That we do
sometimes. And so I think as humans too, I think you touched on something that I think we all can do a little bit more is being genuinely curious in one another, mm-hmm. because people respond to genuine curiosity.
They do. And I guess, especially people that work in like service, they don't get those type of customers, I guess, or the majority, you know, it's just like, if you want to walk in the store, get their stuff.
So urgency driven. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we have the three superpowers, right? Leverage, intent, fellowship. I want to make sure we leave the audience with what would be your number one piece of advice on how to incorporate all three superpowers or at least start moving the needle towards the first one, you know, which is leverage.
I would say in thinking about leverage, if you're going through a stage of hyper growth or scaling, mm-hmm. starting to think about this idea of bringing on support earlier than you think, Cesar. So I think oftentimes our founders think like what you said, this idea of, do I need an executive assistant? Starting to plan for it and budget for it sooner versus later, and thinking about it in the sense of it being a return on investment. So with those 10 hours that we free up, what can you do as founder and CEO and leader of your company with the 10 hours and really thinking of it in a long-term investment perspective.
That's perfect. And I want to make sure that we touch on going back to your personal journey. You know, since you started at MyMaven to now, what's been the biggest change in your thinking, in how you approach work, in your overall life that you have experienced since, you know, starting at MyMaven to now?
Oh my goodness, where to even start? My entire life has changed since joining MyMaven. I think, what is the biggest thing that has changed?
Or it doesn't have to be the biggest, but at least one of the most, you know, top of mind changes that you've experienced.
I think there's a few. So I think, especially for those listening that are thinking about being in the startup world or in the startup world or actually just across life in general, I think adaptability, Cesar. So I think as humans, our ability to adapt to new situations, I used to be more rigid. And upon joining MyMaven, you know, I had a corporate background. I grew up in the Midwest. It was very routine.
Right.
And I mean, you've met Patrick and you know a little bit about MyMaven style. And so MyMaven threw me for a loop, Cesar, but the best kind of loop you can imagine. So I would say adaptability. I would also say that idea that we touched on early on, which is listening to that intuition. Mm-hmm. And then I would say go where the growth is. So MyMaven is a place where we huge growth mindset, you know, learning organization. We're obviously helping others to optimize their lives. Go where the growth is. It's scary and it's sometimes uncomfortable and it's sometimes challenging. But I can say, at least in my own personal experience, it's never led me astray.
I love that. Go where the growth is. How did you develop this growth mindset? You know, was it, you know, because sometimes people are close to new ideas. You know, they're close to change. They're just, you know, they know better, but they don't take action on it. So I'm just curious, like where did this come from? You know, where did it make us a click here? Was it a particular moment in time or a book you read? Yeah. Spill the beans.
Oh, that's such a good question. Thinking back on my own, I would say I've always been someone that maybe had a bit of the growth mindset, like always been a naturally curious person, wanting to learn, wanting to grow. But honestly, I can attribute a lot of it back to my last year and a half at MyMaven. So we are huge on feedback. Mm-hmm. And also it's totally okay to fail. And I think that's very different than like my upbringing in corporate culture or in different work organizations, both aspects, feedback and this ability to be wrong and try new things. And I think that the combination of feedback along with it being okay to make mistakes has allowed me to really step into that growth mindset.
I love that. And I think we're going to have to do another episode to dive deeper into feedback and all of that, because super relevant topic.
I love that.
But all right. So two questions before we wrap it up. And this has to do in terms of relationships, right? And who are the people, and it could be one person or two or three, that have helped you grow and get to where you are today, you know, along your journey so far?
Yeah. So I would say I have an incredibly supportive family. So of course, family has helped me every step of the way. Outside of my immediate family, it goes to Patrick. Easy answer. Patrick has changed my life in so many ways, again, as an amazing leader, but also helped me do a little bit of that perspective shift that we talked about earlier on.
That's awesome. That's amazing. I can't wait to for next week, to be honest.
He's going to change your life.
he's going to change my life. I can already, I can feel it. All right, last question. This is something I ask all of my guests, and it's in terms of growth, right? And I'm a big reader, and I know you're a big reader as well. You know, what is the book or some of the books that have had the most impact on you at this stage in your life?
There are so many. I'm such an avid reader, and I love that you are too. I would say the first one that comes to mind immediately is The Desire Map. And The Desire Map is, have you read it, Cesar?
Who's the author?
Danielle Laporte.
Oh, yes. I know about it, but haven't read it.
I have a copy. I'll get it for you. it is all about this idea that oftentimes, and this is kind of what actually very, very soon around when I started shifting my perspective and thinking about moving to My Maven. So the premise of the book is that we oftentimes work within a framework of setting arbitrary goals without really understanding what we're driving after. And the desire map is all about focusing on what we think we are going to experience as a result of achieving something. So focusing in on the emotions versus the outcome of things.
That's so powerful.
It is so powerful. So that's a definite recommendation. Anything by Robert Greene. Robert Greene's another favorite. Love him.
I have The Laws of Human Nature next to my bed, actually. And
so good.
And it's a big book, right? But every night I try to read like 10 minutes. But it's an amazing book. So
that's such a good question. I have to ask yours. Do you have one that stands out? If I had to force you to pick a favorite.
Yeah. So let me see. This is one of the ones that this guy right here, Never Eat Alone, Keith Ferrazzi.
Oh, I haven't read this one. I have heard of it. Haven't read it.
Yeah. Never Eat Alone and Other Secrets to Success, One Relationship at a Time.
I love it.
Yeah, it's
I see all the post-it notes and all the good stuff. It means it was a good one.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, I love this whole thing about relationships, and because I think, you know, they're the most important thing that you can have. My whole career up to this point has been because of relationships I've built. So yeah, I highly recommend that book. But anyways, awesome, Lauren. Well, this has been an amazing episode. Thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your journey, a little bit more about My Maven and how it's helping transform the world, and how can people get these superpowers of leverage, intent, and fellowship. And if people have questions or they would like to get in contact with you, what is the best way to reach out?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. So it's Lauren, Lauren dot Wegman. Weggeman. And then email is also really good. So it's lauren.w@mindmaven.com. So if anybody wants to explore these further or just wants to discuss or knows the C-suite executive who's struggling with the things that we talked about.
Perfect. And we'll make sure to include those in the show notes along with the books that we mentioned and of course, My Maven. But yeah, no, thanks so much for coming on the show. And I feel like we're going to have to do other episodes in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Cesar.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.